Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 7:05 on a Saturday morning, 48 degrees. Yes, we're live on the day before Christmas, first night of Hanukkah. Here we are doing lawn and garden. Our phone number, 404-872-0750. We got all sorts of things going on in the garden, but one of the things that I was discussing with my family the other night was the ooey-gooey bag. How many of you know, Ashley Frasca, do you know what the ooey gooey bag was?
I don't.
Actually,
oh, because of you and Herb, I do. Officer Don?
Oh, very good. Yes. Excellent. Awesome point for Frasca. When I mean, this happened within, where are we right now? On the hillside. So this happened within 50 yards of where I stand this day, 59 years ago, when I had my 6-year-old birthday party at the Popeye Club. The Popeye Club was an afternoon cartoon show that was shown here at WSB. And the parents would sit in this little balcony above the stage, the TV stage, and children would sit in little bleachers. And Officer Don Kennedy, would come and show Popeye cartoons. And in between cartoons, they would have various games. And one of the games sure to get the kids' attention, just screaming and yelling, jumping up and down, was called the ooey gooey game. And the ooey gooey game was very simple. You got three paper bags and a little Lazy Susan, plastic Lazy Susan. One child was selected from the audience to come up and put a blindfold on that child. And then Officer Don began putting things in one of the bags, broken eggs and some mud and some dirt and some twigs and some leaves, syrup and honey. He would put all sorts of things in the ooey gooey bag. And then the other two bags would have, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups and various other kind of candies and nice toys and maybe a Red Goose Shoes coupon and things like that. I mean, there are listeners out there who are going back in time thinking, yeah, the Popeye Club, I remember that. and so the blindfolded child standing there by the little table, and Officer Don slowly turning the Lazy Susan with the three bags on top around and saying, all right, just tell me when to stop. And the kids in the audience just going nuts, saying, stop, what is that one? Tell them to stop right now. Finally, the child would say, stop. And very slowly, Officer Don would guide their hand down into the paper bag, not knowing what would be at the bottom. Was it ooey gooey? Or was it the candy and the Reese's? Well, sometimes you got the ooey gooey bag. Sometimes you got the Reese's peanut butter cup. It was lots and lots of fun.
And you got to keep the candy?
And you got to keep the candy, absolutely. You don't want to have kids crying because you did not keep the ooey gooey bag. That got given to Uncle Jerry or Uncle Don, Uncle somebody else that was on the crew behind the camera. Yes, I was on the Popeye Club myself, 50 yards from where I stand this very moment. In fact, were you here, actually, did you work at WSB when we had the Popeye room?
No, huh? All right, that was before my time.
Back in the dark ages, in the old White Collins building, there was one room that was a balcony, used to be the balcony that overlooked the TV studio. And that's where the parents would sit, the Popeye room. And then we had, you know, staff meetings and things like that because there were upholstered chairs. It was nice, and you could sit up there and, you know, management could harangue you about what you had and hadn't done the previous month. And so the Popeye room was there. It's no longer, of course, because White Collins was torn down.
And now we're in digital White Collins.
Now we're bigger, in digital White Collins. That's exactly right. And Officer Don, still around, still a great guy. Let's go to the phones. That's great going back in time. Rob is in Lawrenceville and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Rob. How can I help?
My wife and I received a olive tree as a Christmas gift.
Get out of here. Who gave you an olive tree?
Her brother. Who lives in Florida, but the tree came from California. It's through online retailer, yeah. And they also have retail stores.
I'll be darned.
Say the name if you want, but it's a little package that had olive oil in it and had some hand cream that had olive oil in it, and then a live olive tree.
Get out of Dodge. All right, so the question is, can I grow this olive tree in large scale?
Well, we've been looking online, and given our hardiness zone, it looks iffy. So we're trying to figure out what we can do to try and make it work the best. My wife's very good at growing just about everything, overwinter stuff in the basement, and that kind of thing. So we're just trying to figure out the best way to attack this.
You know, I love the word iffy. That is a very, very technical horticultural term, and it describes people like your wife who try to plant things where they're a little iffy about whether or not they'll survive or not. Rob, what am I going to say? Yes, you plant the tree. We'll find out. You'll let me know sometime next fall, maybe. Yeah, the wife's olive tree is thriving. It's 4 feet tall now, and we got little tiny olives on it. Or you'll say, olives don't grow in Lawrenceville. We know.
Well, we put it in a pot, right, and we just repotted it just because it was in a small, but it looks like it has a lot of good roots, but it's only got maybe 4 or 5 leaves on it, about 16, 18 inches tall.
You know, if it were me, I would not keep it inside the house all winter long. I would try to think, and your wife will be familiar with this, with the little micro climates around your landscape, and she'll find a place that is partially sunny during the day, some full sun, maybe against a brick wall, about 3 feet away from a brick wall, so it doesn't get really, really hot during a sunny, cold day in January, but a little bit of protection from winter winds and things sort of like that. Yeah, you and the wife are going to just find a little microclimate and see if olives will grow in Lawrenceville.
Okay.
We'll find out. And you will, of course, report back to me next year and let me know what happened, right?
Any fertilizer, lime, anything with the soil we need to do?
We just
put it in potting soil.
Just put it in normal, potting soil in a sort of a garden mix that you have outside. I wouldn't do any fertilizing right now.
Okay.
No lime, no nothing. Just let it acclimate itself to your landscape outdoors.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Let me know, Rob.
All right.
All right. We'll see you, man.
Bye.
12 minutes past the hour. That gives Dan a turn. Dan's out in Marietta and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, Walter. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. How can I help, Dan?
Well, I've got some pampas grass, and the question is to cut it back or not to cut it back.
I have a neighbor who has a clump of grass. He just moved into this house, as a matter of fact. He moved in during the summertime, and it has a pretty large clump of pampas grass by his driveway. And I said, Don't burn that thing like Ed and Wendell used to do, because that's dumb. You're going to set the house on fire. You're going to do all sorts of things. But the previous owners there used to set the pampas grass on fire in the wintertime. You are not going to do that, Dan. You are going to cut it back. You're going to cut it back.
That'd be an interesting sight. But,
it is a very interesting sight. It makes a lot of sparks. They go way up in the air. That's not what you're going to do, though. You're going to cut it back using a saw or weed whacker or chainsaw. It doesn't matter to me, whatever you use. But anytime between now and, end of February is fine. Whenever you think it looks sort of bedraggled and icky looking, then cut it back to about 6 or so inches tall.
All right. Can I ask you one quick question?
As if you'll let me remind all our listeners that this goes for not only pampas grass, but all the other ornamental grasses. Once they look bedraggled in the wintertime, I'm thinking of maiden grass and pentacetum, the fountain grass, and all the grassy things that you have in a landscape. They're brown now, and you cut them back to around 6 inches tall. Not much taller than that, because if you get taller than that, then the interior of the clump gets all icky and full of leaves and crud and doesn't do right. So anyway, cut them back. Second question, Don, or Dan.
The olive tree reminded me, my wife stuck a golf ball-sized avocado seed in a pot, and now she has an avocado tree about 2 feet tall. Now, what are we going to do with that?
Not put it outside. Not put it outside, because they do not want to be outdoors in the wintertime. The best thing you can do, Dan, is to teach your wife to let the limbs grow about 3 or 4 inches and then pinch, use your thumbnail or a little pair of clippers and pinch out the growing tip at the ends of the branches. Every time a branch gets 6 or so inches tall or long, pinch out the tip. And what will happen then is that pinched tip will sprout usually 2 new branches, and it'll become more compact and a lot more attractive as a tree inside. That's what you're doing, a little pruning, a little bonsai there. You're trying to prune the avocado to make it attractive, evergreen, indoors. But if you just leave it alone and don't pinch anything, it'll be 3 feet tall, look like a little skinny umbrella, and that's not attractive.
What's going to be the final height of this thing? I mean, are we going to eventually somebody have to take a chainsaw and cut it down in the living room or something?
I don't know anyone who has one more than, I think, 3 to 5 years old, because it does get sort of ungainly. It gets bigger than you really want it to be inside the house. And you can never leave it outside for the winter because they do not like to be frozen. So it becomes a conversation piece for a while, and then it succumbs to various things of being too dry or not getting enough light or various things that happen to them. So 3 to 5 years is about right. But it's really fun to talk about your avocado tree, Dan, so do that, certainly.
Thanks, sir.
All right, man. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
16 minutes past the hour. That gives Jim his turn. Jim, it's out and coming. Is on the line with us this very
morning.
Hey, Jim. Morning.
So I've got a Bermuda lawn that's about 3 years old, and I put some lime on it once the last couple of years, and it looked as best as it's ever looked in the springtime. But I can't remember if I did that in the spring or the fall, and how short I ought to cut the grass now.
Let me think. You know, Jim, it's the holiday season, and I know you have a little extra money rattling around in your pocket there. You need to do a soil test. You need to find out whether your Bermuda grass needs more lime or doesn't need more lime, and it'll just make you feel so much more comfortable and confident about the whole lawn growing experience if you know how much phosphorus, how much potassium, how much calcium, how much magnesium, and the pH of the soil, because you've had a university test, and it only costs like $8 or $10. So come on, you got $10. I know you do.
Where do I start? How do I get the bag?
Go to Georgia Soil Test. Well, there's two ways. One, go call over to the Pike Nursery that's over there. Was it 141 and 400? Call over there and ask them if they still have the soil test bags. Usually, most Pike locations have soil test bags. They're university bags, and they have a little clip thing that tells you what to do to submit the soil. And I don't know, $10, $12, something like that. If they don't, then go to georgiasoiltest.com, which is a page that I set up for people. It's georgiasoiltest.com. It'll tell you the more directions of how to send a check or, you know, credit card number and take your soil test and send it off to the university, and everything's paid for. And so you got two solutions, either the Pike bag or my bag. Either way, it works, and you'll know how much lime you need on that Bermuda grass. And as far as mowing, to be truthful, not much. I don't think I'd mow anything unless it would really be draggled and 6 inches tall or something like that. I might cut it to 3. But mowing Bermuda grass down low right now will expose it to cold temperatures for the wintertime, and we don't want to do that.
Well, we don't need to take the lawnmower out today anyway.
No. There's many more pleasant things.
Can I ask one more quick question?
All right.
I've got spikes coming in a few weeks and planting a bunch of shrubs.
Yeah.
Should I do a soil test in that area too?
Wouldn't hurt my feelings in the least. Yes, sir, you should.
All right, I'll check it out.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Jim. It is 7:18, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Today, the high, it's going to be in the high 60s, 67, 68 degrees tonight, 50 degrees overnight. Is this wintertime? What is this, spring, winter, search leaf weather? We don't know. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Don't forget, Sunday, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they will take an in-depth look at all the most talked-about stories of the year, covering the Dixie like the dew at 7:24. Babs, I trolled people earlier by talking about olive trees, and you just can't grow them around here, but you beg to differ.
That's right. My next-door neighbor is from Korea. She put an olive tree right next to my driveway in my yard 8 years ago,
right.
And I was really hoping that you were right, but unfortunately, she was right. This thing is huge. Every year, it looks like it's dead, and every year I get all excited thinking it's finally dead. Nope. It comes out in about June, and we get olives.
I'll be darned.
Now, it's in my yard, but she manages to get 90% of the olives, but I do manage to steal some of them. But
and you're there in
so,
Duluth. In Duluth, as far north as Duluth, we got olives.
Yes, and it may be a microclimate because it's right next to my driveway. It's in full sun, mm-hmm. and it's right next to the road on my cable box.
Maybe the signals from the cable box are causing
something. But it's plenty hot, and she did not amend the soil. She didn't. I know your guy was asking about lime and all the soil. She just took a fork, dug a hole, stuck him in there, and told me she was planting a tree. And I didn't know what it was for the first 3 years because I guess it had to be a certain size before it started fruiting. And then as soon as my husband saw the olives, he started fertilizing it. And I'm just like, no, it's too close to everything. It's going to get too big. So apparently they live to be like 1,000 years old or
something. Yeah, of course. We went to Italy on a garden tour last year and saw an olive tree there that was 500-600 years old. It was gnarly looking, but it was a long old tree.
So 1,000 years from now, you won't be able to use my driveway, but we'll have plenty of olives.
Yeah, we won't be using cars by that time. We'll be having the hovercrafts to go up and down.
I hope the guy's listening.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Go out there, throw it in the yard, full sun, and it doesn't get a lot of water because it's a hill
right
there. And, basically I kind of ignored, the only one giving it any attention is my husband. And so he throws a little Miracle Grow on it when it first starts coming out in June. But in the springtime, tell his wife not to panic because it looks dead as a doornail. And then, poof, it just comes right out.
Olives, get out of here, Babs. Well, I'm glad you called. That is really encouraging news. I will put another tick mark in the maybe rather than the iffy column. Remember we talked about being iffy?
You just have to move to Duluth if you want fancy olives.
All right, we'll go to Duluth. Duluth is known for many things, but olives wasn't quite on the menu, but we may, who knows? City Council and the mayor, if they may decide that Duluth is the olive city of Georgia. We never know. Thanks for calling, Babs. Great talking to you. Olives, Duluth, they grow. How about that? Who would ever think? Coming up for the next half hour, Ed Lithia Springs says he wants to know about gardening in a bathtub with a glass door. All right, Ed, we'll attack that one. Mary Ellen Duluth wants to know whether or not she should mow the leaves over her Bermuda lawn. And Steve has a question about the health of his pine trees. All that coming up, and you can add your name to the list, 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
735, 48 degrees. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia gardener, here to help you be more successful. And you can decide what successful means any way you want to do it. If successful means staying inside and not doing anything today, I will give you things to think about that mean you don't have to go outside. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. Ed is out in Lithia Springs and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Morning, Walter. Boy, you're dedicated, working on Christmas Eve.
I know, and I'll be here next Saturday, too, New Year's Eve. I'm here. Dave Baker's going to be here as well today, so we're two dedicated dudes.
Yeah.
What's up, Ed?
I've been in a new tub and shower enclosure, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about recycling. I'm seeing a mini greenhouse here with this tub deal, and mm-hmm. I didn't know if that was that would work or if waste of time or if I use it, do I need to put it in cool sun or what kind of soil I need to use in it or what's the deal? I know you're an expert on tub greenhouses, right?
I have told the story before. I'll tell it once again that when my dad passed away in 1999, my mother said, we're not going to have any more cows. We're going to pull all those bathtubs we used to water the cows, pull them up next to the house where I can garden in them.
Oh.
So we pulled all the bathtubs up, put them up on concrete blocks, and filled them. I think it was half goat manure from Mr. Webb Mask and half regular dirt from the other, a big garden. And we mixed the goat manure and the dirt together, put a screen over the drain for the tub so it didn't hold water. And she gardened very successfully in her bathtubs for many years. And so, yes, Ed, you can recycle that tub as a raised bed all you want.
Great. Just no need to put a layer of gravel in the bottom or anything?
Something, whatever your ingenuity can come up with, just to keep the drain from clogging up. You don't want the drain
right.
clogged up. So if you can layer gravel, layer landscape cloth, you know, whatever works for you is fine.
Right. And I'm envisioning my door over the top for a greenhouse set. So that might work too.
Yeah,
right?
But keep in mind that if you don't tip that door up and vent it during the day on sunny days like today, if there was any kind of sun at 60-some degrees, it'll cook things inside. Even in January, it could be 25 outside. And if the sun is shining bright through that glass, it'll be so hot inside that greenhouse enclosure, it'll cook the plants inside. So you have to figure some way of tipping it up or regularly go and do it yourself to make sure it vents a little bit.
Right. So it wouldn't really have to be in full sun then.
No, not necessarily. Partial sun, maybe real high, bright shade under pine trees might work pretty well without overheating during the wintertime.
Great. Okay. Well, it sounds like I'm going to be recycling that.
All right. Good idea. Good project for you, Ed. Thanks for calling. We'll see if Mary Ellen is in Duluth and joins us on Lawn and Garden, the new olive capital of the world, Duluth, Georgia, we call it. Hey, Mary Ellen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a small Bermuda lawn that I've always raked free of leaves this time of year and don't mind doing so, but it seems like the leaf falling season is never ending this year. And I got lazy a couple of days ago and took my lawnmower on the highest setting and just did that to pick up my leaves. And I thought I was once and done, but I looked out the window this morning and I'm tempted to get lazy again. And I just wondered if that does harm to my Bermuda.
It can. It depends on how thick the leaf cover is. If it were, you know, one or two leaves on top of a Bermuda plant, then no harm, no foul. If it's a real thick layer of leaves where it gets gooey and wet and damp underneath there, then yeah, there are several fungi that just feel perfectly at ease attacking the Bermuda underneath the cover of all those leaves. So it's your judgment, I guess, Mary Ellen, about whether or not the leaves are thickly covered or whether the Bermuda is thickly covered with leaves enough that it might get, again, moist and icky and hurt your Bermuda grass.
Okay, great. Looks like I might have the lawnmower out today.
I guess so. And all your neighbors say, what is that Mary Ellen mowing her lawn for? She's crazy.
Well, they're the ones that have it matted and wet and, you know, like 5 weeks worth of leaves
and
on it.
And your lawn looks so nice
there
in May, and theirs will look so...
Thank you so much.
Lawn of the month for Mary Ellen. Thanks for calling, Mary Ellen.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
40 minutes past 7 o'clock. Give Steve his turn. Steve's got pine trees and needs to know more about them. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
First of all, I got to hand you something here. I've listened to you for decades, and you're my favorite radio show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you've taught
me
so much. You're such a smart guy. My dad grew up in a greenhouse my grandfather had, and he's from Indiana. And he would come down here and come through here, and every morning he'd be up listening to you. And he'd
oh, my
say,
Lord.
God, you know, that guy is so smart about these things.
And, that guy has made enough mistakes that he can fool everybody to think he's pretty smart.
He really enjoyed your radio program,
I must say.
So, well, listen, to the question, I live along a creek in Cumming.
Yeah.
And new house and standing. Of course, you can't touch trees in the buffer.
Yeah.
And I've got these really long, lanky, beautiful pines. And, of course, they bend and sway in the... you know, in the wind, and boy, I am really, they're 50, 60 feet at least, and at least, maybe more, but so I want to keep these trees healthy, and I was wondering if there's anything I can do other than leave them alone.
Yeah, yeah.
That to make sure their root system is the best, and because I don't want to cut them down.
Sure.
I don't want them to die, obviously, and I certainly don't want them to drop on my house. If you had any suggestions for fertilizing.
Yeah, well, so if they're near the creek bank, I think that the ground stays relatively moist. It doesn't dry out in the summertime in the heat or anything.
Right, lots of shade.
Lots of shade, so it's relatively moist. That being the case, yes, I think a little fertilizer would go to be the good thing for the pine trees. And the kind of fertilizer to use is one of the real slow-acting, long-lasting fertilizers. We're near the creek, and you know about the buffering and not putting too much fertilizer in waterways because then it washes down, becomes a problem. So the kind of fertilizer you use is the organic things like, I'll give you examples, Milorganite, Espoma Hollytone is great. The EB Stone stuff that Pike sells is also a slow-release fertilizer, not one that washes away very readily, that dissolves very slowly into the soil. And scatter, let's see, pine trees, how many feet tall, 40 feet, 50 feet tall for the pine trees?
At least, Walter, at least.
Let's see then. They're going to have a root system as easily 25 to 30 feet out. So pi times 4, about 1,000. We're going to put around 20 pounds of Milorganite. Let's just say, just for example, Milorganite, 601 analysis Milorganite. So we're going to put 20 pounds of Milorganite per tree. Do it in the very early part of spring. So February would be the right time. It will slowly dissolve into the soil. It slowly becomes released and available to the plant tree roots. And the roots that are there are going to be just as happy as they can be, jumping up and down because they don't get much fertilizer otherwise, Steve.
Right.
And they're going to expand as far as they can, take advantage of the moisture that's there naturally, and hopefully never, ever will you hear this crack, bang, boom on top of the house.
That's fantastic, because I have no idea how to fertilize these trees.
Yeah, and again, I'm thinking slow release because I don't want it to go into the creek, and I do want it to be released as the soil warms up, and Milorganite and Hollytone and EB Stone all fill the bill for
that. So Febugly is the month to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it. All right, very good. Thank you so much for your help, as always.
Steve, happy holidays. We'll see you soon.
Yep.
Thanks for calling. Who comes next here? We got time to get Jerry in here. Hey, Jerry, good morning. Welcome to Lawn and Garden.
Good morning, Walter.
Hey, Jerry, what's up?
Well, back this summer, we bought a lemon tree.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about your lemon tree
so much.
And would you believe I've got 6 lemons on it?
Awesome. Terrific.
And I don't know whether they're turning yellow, but I don't know. Do you pick them or do you wait till they fall off?
You pick them because you'll wait from now until next year before they fall off, and they'll be nasty when you let them fall off.
Well, how do I know they're really ripe?
Whenever you feel, when they start turning yellow, there's
just
not going to be much,
yellow.
Not much difference between a partially yellow Meyer lemon and a fully yellow Meyer lemon. There's not hardly any difference at all in taste or in volume, anything that you can measure particularly. So pick the darn things and do something with them for the holidays.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm so excited. I couldn't believe I actually grew lemons. But I brought them in the house,
yeah,
and I put them in a southwest window, and I have a light on them. So they're doing really good now. Do I trim those branches to make it more bushy?
You're probably going to want to once in a while, simply because it gets bushy and gangly and sticks out to the side,
mm-hmm,
and all that kind of stuff. Jason Byers, our new engineer, has a kumquat tree that he harvests kumquats from, Jerry, so you have more to explore,
uh-huh,
in your greenhouse. A little kumquat action going on there, too.
Well, I love your show. I learned so much, and I've tried to figure out how to pick these things. I just didn't know when to do it.
Yeah, just pop them off and use them for something. You can make limoncello out of them. You can make the limoncello alcoholic drink from the Meyer lemons.
Uh-huh.
You can probably make, what?
I'm going to make a tart, I think.
Tart, lemon, key lime pie sort of. Yeah, you can do all sorts of things. Whatever citrus things you have, you can make into. You can
use your
lemon
sore. Well, I am so excited. Thank you so much, Walter.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
So Jason, how many kumquats you get off your kumquat tree?
I'd say this year there's a good 40, 50 on her.
This man is a genius. Not many people grow kumquats in Georgia. No fewer, about the same number as grow olives successfully. And you bring them in and out just like you do a Meyer lemon, right?
Yes, sir. And my master bath has a big skylight over it, and it's on the west side of the house. It gets full sun, and everything grows well.
Look at here. Look what we have. Jason Byers, a new horticultural expert here on the Lawn and Garden Show. It is 7:47 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back right after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
Days and nights for our best of all of nights.
It's 7:54 at News Talk WSB. A quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. High today in the high 60s. Unbelievable. In wintertime, high 60s. Come on. Overnight, in the 50s probably. Right now it's 48.8 degrees. Partly cloudy most of the day. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. In the next half hour, Teresa is going to talk to us about what kind of cover crop can you plant right now on your garden? How many gardeners know what a cover crop is? We'll discuss that in a minute with Teresa. Right now, Charles says Alpharetta joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Charles, good morning.
Hey, Walter, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate sure. How can I help, here. Charles?
Quick question on two questions regarding privacy trees. I've got a bunch of cryptomerias and other evergreen trees like that,
yeah,
and there's
it.
A lot of browning that's kind of taking place at the bottom of the tree and sort of inside the tree.
Yeah.
Question is... is there anything that I can do to sort of prevent that or stop that from happening?
No. Okay. No is the right answer. Drought is really the thing that affects Leland's and Cryptomeria. And so what you could do is roll back the hands of time 6 months and say, man, I'm going to water the stew out of those Cryptomeria during the summertime drought. But when it gets to a point where they're browning, basically, the tree is probably not going to die, but the lower limbs that are brown right now are probably not going to come back either. So you just deal with it, prune them out as seen and needed, and plant small green shrubbery underneath to cover up the naked trunk of the Cryptomeria.
Okay. And then the second question that I had was, do you have any suggestions for trees that can grow relatively fast and provide some sort of buffering from road noise?
Ooh. Remembering that road noise buffering is typically done is a psychological thing. If you don't see the traffic, it's not as loud as if you see it. So anything that's evergreen and keeps you from seeing the tractor trailer and seeing the SUVs coming down the street is a good buffer. Because other than that, only physical things like berms, you know, earth that directs sound physically upward and blocks the sound is only the thing that lowers the decibel level. Truly. But, so that said, well, we've got plenty of evergreen plants. You've got your Cryptomeria. They're probably too big. There's lots of hollies. There's Savannah holly, Nellie Stevens holly. American holly's too big. Yopan holly. Arborvitae. If you go to my website, frankly, and type the word screening into the search line, there'll be a whole page full of screening trees, different heights, different berries and flowers and things you need to know about the plants. So that's what I would do. Go look at my website.
Would the little magnolias work for that purpose?
Yeah, sure would. A nice little gem or a panda or what's another small little magnolia. I'm sure there's another evergreen magnolia around. But, yeah, all those magnolias would do fine.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you too, Charles. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Again, go to my website, type the word screen or screening in the search line. It'll bring you the page. It has all those different plants that I think would work fine in Georgia. Some tall, some columnar, some got berries, some got flowers. You choose what you want. There's any number of situations where screening is necessary. But remember, it's more psychological than it is actual physically decibels being diminished there. It's 6:58. We'll be back after news.
Children, listen to hear sleigh bells in